Is it strange to see me talking here and hear me back there? Yeah? It's like our minds. So good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to see you all. So glad to be here with you. I wasn't able to be here a year ago. I'm so grateful that we can be together now. It's so wonderful. So I hope you're settling in. The sitting feels really quite solid, quite good. So please continue sincerely to practice our way. And it's so great that we've come to practice together, especially at this study retreat, because the study retreat also marks the end of our autumn practice period, during which we've been receiving really a beautiful and extensive teachings and a way to study from our two practice period leaders, Simone, whose Dharma name is Awakening One, and Judith, whose Dharma name is Morning Light. So Morning Light and Awakening One have been leading us in our study of Dogen's important teaching called Actualizing the Fundamental Point. And this writing that Dogen did from Shoba Genzo, Treasury of the True Dharma Eye, really encapsulates his very compassionate and extensive teaching, and is perhaps of all of his writing. And Kaz Tanahashi and I worked together on the Shobo Genzo. It's 1,600 pages, 500,000 words. This is probably the most beautiful, and certainly the most evocative, and the most provocative, and the most inspiring, and also enormously confusing text sometimes. But it's the essential, Dogen's essential statement of his understanding on the nature of reality that all things, all dharmas share. The truth of things inside of everything. Suzuki Roshi might say this is Dogen's teaching on things as it is. So things, the plurality of everything, but there's just an as-it-is-ness to things that everything share. And that's what Actualizing the Fundamental Point is really addressing. So during this weekend, I'll be giving talks in the evenings, and Morning Light and Awakening One will appear for you in the mornings for their Dharma talks. And then on Sunday, we have a really very special ceremony that everyone will participate in that's very dynamic, very spirited, very profound, extremely silly sometimes, but really great. So I want to talk this morning about the title only of what we've been studying, to give a little background. And in the translation we've been using, which is the translation that Kaz Tanahashi, our very good friend, did with Robert Aiken Roshi many, many years ago, Kaz translates the title of the Japanese, the title is Genjo Koan. He translates Genjo Koan as Actualizing the Fundamental Point. So since I'm so fond of visual aids, here's a Genjo. You can see Genjo. These are the characters for it. And Kaz's translation of Genjo is actualizing. Actualizing is this. It happens. But it's not only that something happens. Gen up here. Gen means present or current. But it also means to become visible or to appear. So think of the present moment. Of becoming visible or appearing. It means to manifest that present moment. And therefore, it also means now, with the full force of what now can really mean. It's right there, right now. Sometimes we say right here, right now. And that's again. And jo means to complete. Here's jo. Jo means to complete or to finish. It means to accomplish. But also, very, very importantly, jo means to become or to turn into. So you can see these are starting to interact now. Jo is a verb, so it's very active. So we can say that, genjo maybe it means completing or actualizing or accomplishing now. Now coming completely as itself, right here in this place. A more accurate translation would be like manifesting or becoming or turning into the present moment. So the present moment turning into itself. And of course our practice is all about coming back to what we truly are. So actualization is really the embodiment of that in our lives. So we could say, another way to say it is now becoming now, not becoming something else. And Kaz translates the word koan, Genjo koan, as a fundamental point. And a koan, you probably know, is a Zen story that a teacher will give to a student to help develop that student's understanding. And so the student is asked to really sort of swallow the coal, the hot coal of that koan, that story, in order to wake up to reality, wake up to herself or wake up to himself. And traditionally, so ko in koan, ko means a public and an means case. So it's a public case. So it's a story that's known. But even though it's known, people have read it, it's not really known by the student until they become that story inside themselves completely and fully. And then they have to manifest it to their teacher. And in that moment, it can really get wild in the Dokusan room, I can tell you. Dogen uses a koan to mean a truth that is experienced directly, a direct experience of truth or a direct experience of reality. And or another way to say it is, a koan is the reality or the truth of all things which the student should realize. So we could say a rough translation of Genjo koan is directly actualizing by expressing and manifesting the true reality found in this very moment. Directly actualizing the truth right here, right now, with your whole body and mind. Or another way to say it is manifesting the reality this moment is. Or another way to say it is actualizing truth in this moment. Truth right now. And showing it with your life. Doing it with your whole body and mind. So as you look at these characters for Genjo Koan, you can see that because the present moment is active, right? Impermanence is embedded in what we call the present moment. And the present is always this way. It's a flash that seems to both be appearing and disappearing at the same moment, like a spark that jumps right out of a fire. You know that, right? Can you catch the present moment? It's very difficult to catch that spark. So we can't grasp it, but we know that it's here because we're alive in the present moment as the present moment. It's not something we're in. The present moment and us are not separate. And as you know from previous Dharma talks and possibly from your reading, Dogen expresses this in Shoba Genzo in his chapter called Uji, Time Being. And makes very, very clear that time and being are not two separate things, that they are non-separate. There's no being outside of time, and there's no time that exists outside of the beingness of things. And Dogen even says that that in any 24-hour period, there are, he had a special like slide rule or calculator, you know. He said there are 6,400,099,100, I think it's four or five, I'm not sure, moments in any given day. That's a lot of moments. So he's really pointing to this part of it. When I started to contemplate what actualization, the present moment, could really mean and how we work, it's interesting to me that when we actualize the present moment, it doesn't disappear in the same way. An actualized present moment doesn't disappear in the same way as when we disappear through unconsciousness or unawareness. You know what that's like, right? So I said, when we walk in Kenyan, for example, it's an opportunity to actually know what we're doing. Most of the time we walk and we're completely out of touch with it. So when we actualize the present moment, it disappears because it jumps into life. That's why it disappears, as a result of our being intimately engaged with what we do. So it's like a spark. Again, it's just like that. And then right then in that moment, for example, if we struck a match, right then in that moment, there is life, and it's the life of a match. Its head's on fire. The match is not thinking, gee, why did I get a B on the test when I was 14? Or like, I got to do my retirement planning. The match is alive, fully, completely as a match, a concept of itself. So that's actualization of a match. Think about that for yourself. Dogen said that in this chapter, Dogen said, when Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily know that they are Buddhas. They're not watching themselves. So that's how fully and completely Dogen means actualization. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily know they are Buddhas. However, he said, they are actualized Buddhas who go on actualizing Buddha through their actualization. So Buddha stays alive, in other words, even though Buddha may not be sitting around saying, what a good boy am I, or little Jack Horner, or whatever that was. There's not necessarily any awareness of it. So because they're completely ignited, they're wholly alive without any self-consciousness of it. And you know from when you give yourself completely to something, you're not outside watching it. You're just completely there, and that's actualization. And in that moment, the fundamental point is being actualized. Koshinichi Yamaroshi was a great, great teacher. And we used to study his work when at my home temple, Genjoji. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, but so the temple where we were trained was Genjoji, means the temple of actualizing the fundamental point. So it's kind of appropriate that we're doing this now. So Kosho Yuchi Yamaroshi says that we could translate a Genjo koan as the ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. The ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. And Judith has fallen in love with this phrase. And she's mentioned it in her talks, and it's wonderful. It's a really great translation. So the ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming itself. So Genjo, for Uchiyamaroshi, Genjo is the present moment becoming the present moment. And koan, ko is ordinary, and an means profundity. So when the present moment becomes the present moment, it's very profound. And Uchiyamaroshi says, it's also ordinary. That means that's us. So I think it's important for us to know that the ordinary profundity of the present moment become the present moment, despite how it sounds, is not some mystical state. It's just us. It's just our being naturally and completely alive as ourselves, with one exception from how we usually live. It means that we have no hindrance to the full expression of what we are. It's just our life expressing itself in the present moment, in the same way that that a tree expresses its tree-ness through its entire being by being all tree, just like the match was all match. The tree is all tree. And we are not different from a match or a tree or anything else because of the reality of the oneness of all of things. That means that we also have the ability to be all whatever we are in our form. It doesn't depend on our doing anything or having anything, but being alive to the present, to the moment, in the moment, as the moment. And so I will now offer humbly my translation of Genjo Koan: alive to the moment, in the moment, as the moment. So, yeah, forgive me, Dogen. This is my poor attempt. But this is Genjo Koan. And rather than it being some kind of mystical state or an extraordinary condition, it's just a matter of how we do what we do, using our ordinary lives, with our ordinary bodies, our ordinary hearts, our ordinary minds. We could start to look into what ordinary means a little bit as we live in the world. So it's a matter of bringing intimacy That means a wholeheartedness, bringing intimacy to whatever it is we're doing or whatever it is we're meeting, and being truly present in whatever we're doing, in the moment, to the moment, in the moment, as the moment. And that's Ginjo Koan. And Heather, I wanted to be able to see her. Heather said in our study group of Ginjo Koan that for her understanding was that it's just a matter of the quality of our minds in action. And that's right. The quality of our minds in action. So we don't conceptualize our activity. Our minds and our activity are just one thing. So for those of us who live here on Salt Spring, I think we're very fortunate because we have Buddha ancestors of the natural world everywhere around us. We see them all the time, actualizing the fundamental point. We see it. We see it in the color of the sky. We see it in the clouds. We see it late at night when there's no ambient light. We can actually see the stars. We, you know, see the trees. And because they're actualizing the fundamental point, we know what it looks like. We have manifest Buddha ancestors everywhere all around us. And we know what it means, because we see what it means. We see reality. We see truth being manifested right here in front of us. And that helps us to live. So we can always be grateful, no matter what we see in the natural world. It's showing something about our lives. And not just symbolically. Because what happens to everything in the natural world is happening to us because we're the natural world. That's just true. So in spring, what does actualizing the fundamental point look like? The trees bud and the leaves turn green. And in winter, the snow appears on the top of the mountain. And this happens all over the world, but this is not, we should know it. This is not, again, it's not some special out of this world, never to be realized by human beings in human form state. That's not true. It's just things being what they are, but it's things being completely what they are. That's what actualized means. Not just sort of latently, but being. Dogen wrote a poem about ourselves as ourselves when we're not separate from all things. And it was his way of trying to remind us that actualizing the fundamental point is actually an all-inclusive activity. And if you think about it, when you try to do something just by yourself, it's very difficult sometimes. But when you allow the totality of what you are, which includes your wholeness, to do it, there's an enormous dynamism to what we can do. There's great energy. We get help from all of the Buddhas around us, you know, that pervade space and time as we chant. So it's so good to, for example, we were just standing in front of our mats. I don't know what you were doing. I was letting my feet feel the root 500 miles under the earth to help me stand, because actually that's the only reason I can stand, is because everything is supporting me. I can't stand by myself. No one can do anything by themselves. It takes everything for each thing to occur. So actualization brings that to life. Dogen said, okay, what is it? He called his poem Original Face. And in Zen, that question is asked, what's your original face? Dogen said, oh, original face? Okay. Flowers in spring. Cuckoos in summer. Moon in autumn. Snow in winter. Serene and cool. Isn't snow serene and cool? So that's original face. But we're not just cuckoos. We are cuckoos, but we're not just cuckoos. We need to remember that. In other words, we're not just the absolute world. We're also the relative world in human form. And there are so many ways that people can come to life and blossom in purely human ways when we become ourselves in a full way. And then, just like everything else, when it's time, whether it's the end of the moment or the end of what we call our life, which is not really entirely true, we completely let go, like everything else does. And we just return to the ground of being that we've never really left behind. We function like all things. But each of those human ways that we actualize the present moment makes the present moment the present moment. And I think nothing can be more human than we do this. In fact, allowing the present moment to be the present moment through our actualization in a way defines what being fully human is. It's just the ordinary profundity of the present moment of our lives making itself known. And so it's not special. But if we look at what not special means, it's pretty spectacular. It's pretty great. It's why we want to stay alive. So I think it's true that everyone here has probably had some experience of this. Do you think that's true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in one way or another, at one time or another. Yeah, maybe in zazen or in dancing or in writing a poem or maybe taking a walk in the hillside somewhere and then the color of this little purple flower or one of these blazing golden trees catches our attention, and in that moment it just stops us alive and actualizes us. We become one with that. We become one with the flower. We realize our oneness with it. So that kind of moment happens, but I think that it's true also that most of us rightfully consider that's a pretty rare and extraordinary thing. It's certainly not a day-to-day event or a moment-to-moment event. But we should ask ourselves why that's true. Why isn't it? Why isn't it more? And I think it's a good question for us to ask. So it's a good time, I think, to remember the story of Bhajan, one of our great Zen ancestors. Bhajan was a wonderful Zen teacher who was asked, what is the most extraordinary thing? And Bhajan said, the most extraordinary thing is just to sit on Mount Bhajan. Just to be fully, completely his true and natural self. So to be fully actualized in the only moment that there is, as ourselves, Heather as Heather, Jen as Jen, Dave as Dave, Jeff as Jeff, Peter as Peter, talk as talk. That ordinary profundity is what brings our life completely to life. So now, Awakening One will help us to do exactly that, and he'll continue the talk with teaching from actualizing the fundamental point. Thank you.